Well, good morning. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. And hey, with summer officially starting this week, welcome to summer camp as well. It's the new series that we're starting this week. More on that a little bit later. But here's what I need you to do as we begin to sing these songs. We're going to do this kind of summer camp theme, summer camp style. So pretend maybe there's like a campfire burning bright right there. We're outside somewhere beautiful, and we're just going to sing these songs of worship to be reminded of who God is and get to worship and glorify Him this morning. So would you stand if you're able, and let's sing nice and loud. I think we'll recognize these songs, and let's worship Him together. I search the world.
I search the world. But it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together.
Sound great, let's sing this out.
I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of
better than you.
just be reminded of who God is as we sing this next song. Sing with as Elise leads. Here we go.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. This is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did, who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit? He did, who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. Before the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and Jesus. Before the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. So God, we worship you this morning. That is who you are. You're good and you're faithful and you love us. We know that today, as Father's Day, while celebratory and a good thing in many of our lives, it can also be hard. There's difficult things going on. So whatever journey you have us on, God, would you bring encouragement and hope and life and peace to us today and change us through your word as we get to open that up together and just hear from you and meet with you. So God, we love you and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us for worship again today. You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. As they're doing that, 56ers, you guys can head out to the atrium and then let me hand it off to Pastor Matt for a bit of an update.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Black Hawk Church. Welcome to everyone here in the room. Welcome to everybody at our sites and venues at Black Hawk Fitchburg, at Black Hawk Downtown, at Traditions, at Gospel Fusion. Everybody who's watching online right now, we are one church in a whole bunch of different locations. And happy Father's Day to all the dads and grandfathers who are in the room or who are watching right now at any of our sites, venues, or online. We just celebrate you today. And it's been a fun weekend for my family. Both of my daughters, Hannah and Leah, have been in town, and it's just been fantastic to be able to have just some time together. But at the same time, we know that every time we celebrate a holiday like this, there's mixed feelings and emotions, right? And for a lot of you, you know that 7 months ago, my wife Rachel, her dad, who was a part of our church here, went to be with the Lord, and then just a little over a week ago, my dad passed away. And so today is an interesting day with a different set of feelings and emotions. And to all of you who have reached out to us, to our family in any way, man, just thank you so much. We're just continuing to walk through it all. We'll be next week down in Florida for my dad's celebration of life service, which will happen on Saturday the 24th. And we'll be down there for the weekend and then back around here. But just appreciate your prayers and encouragement as we continue to walk through this season. But all that just to say, for those of you who are in this weird place of different emotions, welcome to Black Hawk Church. So we're one church, and we are family, and we know that people are in different places, and we want this to be a safe place for us, regardless if we're celebrating today or if we're grieving or having just a mixture of feelings and emotions. Amen? So we're just glad that you're here. Hey, another thing to know, actually, that we get a chance as a community really to be able to celebrate tomorrow. Tomorrow is a holiday called Juneteenth. For those of you who aren't aware of what that holiday is, it's very important to many of our African-American brothers and sisters, and one that I think in our society we are grabbing hold of in different ways, I think in a very positive way. It is a day where we remember, there was the Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln, and it took 2 years for that actually to trickle through all of the different states to where finally Confederate slaves were completely set free. And on June 19th, 1865, finally in Galveston, Texas, finally the last group of African-American slaves were finally freed at that time. And so it's a day where many of our brothers and sisters celebrate. And so we remember it as well. Look, as a multi-generational, multi-site, multicultural church, Scripture tells us as the body that we're to be people who rejoice with those who rejoice and that we mourn with those who mourn. And so to my African-American brothers and sisters, we celebrate with you. Just want you to know that. Hey, another thing just to know for those of you who call Black Hawk Church your home, regardless if you're a member, if you're a regular attender of our church, I just want to give you a little bit of an update. So our fiscal year for our church runs from July through June. So we're coming to the end of our fiscal year right now. And just a little update of where we're at financially. We've been trying to do that. Right now, we are about $400,000 behind in our budget. Now, we don't spend what we don't have, and so we're still within the realm, but at the same time, it inhibits us from being able to do ministry that we have wanted to do. And so just as you're looking at your own finances, if you call Black Hawk Church your home, if you give, man, thank you so much for everything that you do to continue to help our church be the church that we have the opportunity to be. And if you wouldn't mind taking a look at if there's a way for you to be able to help us kind of close some of that gap in this time by giving a gift above and beyond what you normally give, that would be great. And hey, if you call Black Hawk Church home, but you're not in the game with us financially, I just want to encourage you to take a look at that. See if you could give a gift in this time. And here's the reason why. You all, there's something really, really powerful that happens when we as the church together, regardless if you're online or in one of our sites or venues or here, when we as a community can lock arms and go after the heart of God, and there's just something powerful that he does. And so just want to throw that out there to our church family. Hey, as we jump into today, One thing to know ahead of time, we're going to be taking communion together. And so if you're online, you may want to go ahead, take a minute right now just to go and run and get the elements that you're going to use for that time as we take communion in just a little bit in this series. And we're starting a brand new series today. We lived the book. So for an entire year. And last week, Charles and Tiffany had a chance to kind of close that out for us. Today, we start a brand new series called Summer Camp, which I am so excited about as we take a look at the idea of spiritual practices and the way that those fit within our lives. How are they supposed to affect us? As we have studied scripture, now how do we take what we have studied and put it into practice in our lives that we might be people who become more like Jesus? We've got all kinds of stuff that's gonna be going on this summer, which I think is gonna be amazing. And so to kick off the series today, we get the chance to hear from our lead teaching pastor once again, Charles Yu. So let's go to him right now.
Five months changed my life. Freshman year in college, I was beginning to question my faith. Today, people call it deconstruction. Back then, we didn't call it that. But, you know, I had all kinds of questions, all kinds of doubts. And, you know, the church I grew up in, the answers they were giving me, they weren't enough. So I walked away from church. I walked away from my faith. It wasn't until the middle of my sophomore year that I came back to church. I came back, kind of. I was still feeling very lost. I had all kinds of questions, all kinds of doubts. But you know the biggest question I was struggling with? Is this Jesus thing for real? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy? Because if it's not for real, why do I bother with it? Why am I wasting time on it? But if it is for real, then how do I get serious about it? How do I become a committed follower of Christ? What's my next step? You see, I was tired of playing the church game, right? Going to church because I'm supposed to. No, I wanted to be serious or not at all, right? Is this Jesus thing for real? So I decided to try something. I tried to do something called spiritual practices. Now, this was 1989, spring semester of my junior year. I decided, you know what? I can do these practices for 5 months. You know, I can just, you know, stick to it and do 5 months. And those 5 months altered the trajectory of my life. Now, before I tell you more about what happened during those 5 months, let me introduce myself. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. I want to welcome all of you here and those of you joining us at the various sites and venues, as well as those of you joining us by streaming on computer and by podcast. So glad you're here. To the Chinese speakers, 弟兄姐妹, 平安. To the Spanish speakers, es un gusto tenerlos aquí con nosotros. Today, we're starting a new sermon series, as you heard. And this sermon series is on spiritual practices. I'm so excited about this. Now, last week, we closed out Live This Book. 9 months, right? We talked about the story of the Bible, and we learned things, critical things, important things. We learned who God is and what he's up to in our world, right? This is a broken world. He's trying to restore it. And he's recruiting a people. Okay, that's us. He's recruiting a people who know him, who love him, and share his vision for the world. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to transform us so that we can live out his character as part of this mission to the world. Which means this is what it means to be a Christ follower. The Christian life is about two things: deepening our relationship with God and becoming transformed into his likeness for the sake of his mission. Right? This is what we learn from the last series. Okay? We got that, right? Cool. We know that. Obvious next question. How? How does this happen? Just like magic? Right? How does this happen? Does God do this? Or do we play a part in it in any way? See, that's what this series is about. This series is about spiritual practices. This series is about the part we play, how we contribute to our deepening relationship with God and our transformation into his likeness for the sake of his mission, which means this series is practical, folks. It's hands-on. It's rubber meets the road. Last series is about learning stuff. This series is about doing stuff. It's about trying stuff. Now, before I jump in on the whole spiritual practices thing, I need to clarify a few things because there's a lot of confusion when it comes to spiritual practices. One reason for that is in our culture, people talk about spirituality, right? They use the word spirituality. People say things like, oh, I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. People say that, right? So, and then you know, you have the various Christian traditions and they all have different views on spiritual practices. So it's very confusing and we have a lot of questions. So I'm gonna start by just kind of clarifying some of these questions. I'm gonna go straight at some of these questions. And I'm gonna start with something easy, all right? Here we go. This is the easy one. The Bible commands God's people to do spiritual practices. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Okay, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the Torah of Yahweh. Okay, when you see the word Lord in all caps, that marks God's personal name, Yahweh. And the Hebrew word for law is Torah, which really should be translated as teaching. So let's try, blessed is the one whose delight is in the teaching of Yahweh and who meditates on his teaching day and night. Right there, we're talking about two different spiritual practices. There is meditation, and then there is reading the Bible, okay? Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This command is about taking a day of rest, of stopping from work and focusing on God. This is in the Bible. In fact, it's so important in the Bible, it's actually in the Ten Commandments. This passage comes out of the Ten Commandments. All right, that's Old Testament. Okay, what about Jesus? Luke chapter 5. This is about Jesus. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus does two different spiritual practices. One is called solitude, getting away from people. And the other one, of course, is prayer. And Jesus does this regularly. Now, okay, I can keep doing this. I can spend the next 30 minutes throwing up passages after passages after the passages in the Bible that talks about spiritual practices, okay? But look, there is absolutely no doubt about this. The Bible envisions God's people doing spiritual practices. That's not a problem. That's not where the questions are coming from. The questions come from this. When God's people do spiritual practices, they do them for the wrong reasons. And when we do them for the wrong reasons, the spiritual practices, they actually get in the way of what they're supposed to accomplish, okay? So we need to know what the wrong reasons are. So here are some common wrong reasons why people do spiritual practices. Wrong reason number one, doing spiritual practices to gain favor with God. Now, some of you come out of Christian traditions where, you know, you're told to do a prayer or do something spiritual to atone for something you did wrong, to atone for a sin, right? To make up for something you've done wrong. That is not biblical, okay? You don't do anything. In fact, you can't do anything to earn forgiveness, right? This is part of the gospel. It's a critical part of the gospel. You have to understand this, okay? The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, we are joined with Jesus on the cross. Your sin died on the cross with Jesus. It's gone, right? And at that moment, you're reconciled with God. You are adopted as his son, as his daughter, which means there's nothing you can do to earn forgiveness. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love. You have it all. It's called grace. It's awesome. It's the gospel. On the flip side, some people do spiritual practices because they think that can gain them favor before God, like brownie points. You know, if I pray a lot, I can trade that in with God. Maybe God will give me something I want, right? Okay, that sounds really kind of crass, I know, but I'm trying to make explicit what's often in people back to people's head, right? Like that I can horse trade with God. I do something God wants, he does something I want, right? Right? And people actually, some people make this explicit. They'll say, hey, be more generous, right? Give to the church and God will bless you with wealth, right? People say that. So let me just make something really, really clear. Spiritual practices are not a currency you can trade with God. You cannot use it to gain forgiveness and you cannot use it to gain favor. That's not what spiritual practices are for. If you do them that way, you will get nowhere with them. All right, wrong reason number three. Wrong reason number two. I know how to count. Okay. Doing spiritual practices so that people think we're spiritual. Now, okay, Jesus was struggling with this problem way back in the first century, right? Back in Matthew 6, Jesus says this. He says, hey, when you fast, when you do some kind of a spiritual practice, like fasting, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. You see, in the time of Jesus, there's a group of people, and they're like doing spiritual practices in front of everybody else to gain a reputation for themselves, right? People go, oh, look at those people. They're so spiritual. They're so amazing. Wow, they love God so much. Now, this is not a problem just for the first century. Okay, so just want to point that out. Anytime a church encourages the people to do spiritual practices, this becomes a temptation. Okay? This is what happens. There's that part in us. You see, we're broken people. Our hearts are messed up. Right? We start doing spiritual practices, and all of a sudden, there's this temptation to go, oh, I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual. I'm closer to God. That spiritual pride comes up. And then, oh, I get the reputation from other people. Right? We are broken people, folks. This is a major problem. So we're doing a series on spiritual practices. We got to know this and be on guard against it. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says what? Do the spiritual practice, but be careful. Be on guard. Take action to prevent you from using this to build up spiritual pride within and a reputation from the outside. Be on guard against it. Because that goes against what spiritual practices are for, right? All right, now we get to wrong reason number three. Doing spiritual practices to improve myself. Now, in our culture, spiritual practices are very popular. Right? People are learning things like meditation, breathing exercises, visualization. Our culture borrows practices from all over the world, and they bring them in. But there's one underlying goal, which is to make myself better, to improve myself, to help myself. These practices are used for sometimes in mental health issues, for people with mental health issues, that helps them a lot. For other people who are like, oh, look, I just want to make myself better. I want to experience more peace. Well, do meditation. I want to stop being so angry. Well, do some breathing exercises, right? Or I want to succeed in what I'm trying to do. Visualization, visualize success, right? I want to be less materialistic. I want to transcend this shallow, trivial world. Hey, do A, B, or C. It's about doing something to make ourselves better, a better version of who I'm trying to be. That's our culture's understanding of spiritual practices. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do these practices. Some of these practices can be helpful. I just want to make it clear that it's different from what we're talking about. We're talking about something completely different, okay? But it is confusing because in our culture, they use words like meditation. The Bible talks about meditation. They use words like spirituality and spiritual. We use words like spirituality and spiritual. And because of that confusion, we can have unhelpful responses. People often respond in two unhelpful ways. Number one is we just merge them together, right? We just do spiritual practices. They're all the same. And so we start doing biblical spiritual practices with the same goal as secular practices. We start doing them to help ourselves, to improve ourselves. And the other unhelpful response, we become suspicious of all spiritual practices and we avoid them all. Neither response are helpful, okay? Look, the Bible says God's people do spiritual practices, so avoiding them is not an option. So the only way forward is that we do spiritual practices, but we are very, very clear. Very, very clear about what we're doing and why we're doing them and how it's different from spiritual practices in our culture. Does that make sense? We gotta do them, but we gotta know how and why. Okay. So let's go there. Why do we do spiritual practices in the Bible? What's the point? Well, spiritual practices in the Bible are rooted in the story of the Bible. And luckily for us, we just spent 9 months talking about the story of the Bible. right? So here's what we learned. We're broken people living in a broken world. We are soaked and steeped in the brokenness of this world, in the injustice, in the exploitation of the systems. We are surrounded by its understanding of what is beauty, what is good, its value system. We adopt its language, its culture, its way of seeing things. Right? The culture tells us what to think of ourselves, what to even wear today. The culture tells us everything. We're soaked in it, we're steeped in it. The culture is remaking us into its image. And then Jesus comes into our world and dies on the cross. And we're joined with him. And we're reconciled with God. And now I want to live to image God. But how do I do that? Right? How do I do that? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I want to image God, but I still live in this world. I have the same body, the same memory, the same practice, the same values. I'm a new creation in Christ, yes, but a whole lot of things haven't changed. So how do I start imaging God while the world is trying to make me image the world? Well, the Bible says we can't do it ourselves. I can't count on my will. My will is corrupted. I can't count on my desires. My desires are corrupted. The Bible says the only thing that can change us is not a thing, is a person. It is the power of God who comes and dwells in our lives. That's right, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who comes and dwells in you and says, I can remake you into the person you're supposed to be. And spiritual practices are ways we cooperate with this Holy Spirit. You see, it's a bit of a problem, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't impose himself on us. The Holy Spirit is remarkably respectful of human freedom and choices. He wants us to jump in. He wants us to want to transform. He wants us to want to deepen this relationship. And when we want to, when we need to do something to express our desire to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And this is the core difference between biblical spiritual practices and secular spiritual practices. In the secular world, spiritual practices, the word spiritual refers to the non-material dimension of our existence. You know, you're a spirit. You're getting in touch with that spiritual realm. Spiritual practices gives you access to impersonal forces and energies that can make you, give you the things you want, change into the person you want to be. Biblical spiritual practices, the word spiritual refers to the Holy Spirit. Biblical spiritual practices refers to things we do to partner with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Okay? Do you understand this? Spiritual practice in the Bible is not self-improvement. It's not self-help. It's not remaking me into the person I want to become. No. It's opening space up for the Holy Spirit to come in to do something he wants. Okay? The Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life that's unexpected, that you cannot imagine. And spiritual practices about opening up that space. Okay, that sounds very theoretical. Let me see if I can give you an example that can help us understand. Serena and I, we have this friend. She's a great artist. And she came to our house one time, our condo, and she was looking at this big patch of blank walls. And she said, hey, can I do something? Can I draw something there? No. Serena, we love this person. She's a great artist. We totally trust her. We're like, sure, of course, do whatever you want. So, for the next 2 weeks, she came over almost every day, right? And then I was there. I opened up the door for her. You know, she carried this big ladder. She came in and she started drawing on our walls for 2 weeks. And this is what she did. This is what she did. This is what it looks like. These are close-ups, and you see the scale, the scope of this thing that she did. Okay? It's amazing. Now, what does this have to do with spiritual practices? Here's the thing. An artist came into our home and made something spectacular, made something inspiring. Every day, Serena and I were like, wow, I can't believe this is in our house. We marveled at it. We were like, we're like just enjoying it every day while we lived in that place. But we can't do this. We're not artists, right? We can't even imagine this. This was her design. This was her artistry. This was her doing hours of work on that wall, painstakingly drawing everything. But we did contribute, right? We did something, right? We gave permission, and I was there to open the door every time she showed up. We contributed to the creation of something amazing in our home. Listen up, people, listen up, listen up. God wants to do something absolutely amazing in your life. Do you understand that? God wants to do something absolutely astounding in your life. Things that you cannot do on your own. Things that you cannot create on your own. Things you can't even imagine, can't even conceive of. If you'll only let him. If you'll only let him. That's spiritual practices. Opening up space, giving God the permission for the Holy Spirit to come in to deepen your relationship with God and to transform your life into his likeness in ways that you've never thought of, in amazing ways that you cannot even imagine. That's spiritual practices. All right, let me recap. The Bible envisions God's people doing spiritual practices. Okay, no doubt about that. You don't do them to gain God's favor. You don't do them to gain reputation for spirituality, and you don't do them to improve yourself. It's not self-help. You do them to cooperate with God, the Holy Spirit, who has the power to remake your life in ways you cannot imagine, create beauty and artistry that you cannot conceive of. I did not know any of that back in 1989. I was 20-year-old, college student, I was lost and confused about my faith. So I decided to do 3 spiritual practices. I'm gonna do them for 5 months, I said. I figure I can keep it going for 5 months, that's about it, okay? So I tried 3 of them, picked one. Number one was I was gonna serve my roommates. I was living with 3 other Christian guys, and I said, okay, I'm gonna, without telling them, every night for 5 months, I'm gonna go after dinner and go to the kitchen and do all the dishes, including their dishes. And I'm gonna clean up the kitchen. I do them without telling them. Number 2, spiritual practice number 2, I was gonna set boundary on the source of chaos in my life. And the biggest source of chaos in my life back then was school. I was a junior in an engineering program, which means midterms, projects, problem sets, they come sweeping through them, and I'm pulling all-nighters and I'm pounding no-dos and Jolt Cola. You guys know Jolt Cola? Tagline. All the sugar and twice the caffeine. And I said, no. I actually just decided, no. I'm putting a boundary on this chaos. I'm gonna stop work at night at 10 o'clock every night. If I'm not prepared for the midterm, oh well. If I didn't finish my problem set, oh well. I just need to rework my time and use my time better and manage my time better. So I put boundary on the chaos of my life. And I created space for the 3rd spiritual practice, which is at 10 o'clock every night, I'm gonna open up the Bible and I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna write about what I think, write about my questions, and write down my prayers. 3 spiritual practices, 5 months. Now, I wish I could tell you how that changed my life. I mean, it's like, I wish it's like there wasn't this lightning bolt moment, you know, everything changed. It wasn't like that. It was gradual. First thing I remember vividly how time felt different. Like every evening, we're all eating dinner, and I'm like, okay, I gotta get in front of them, get to the kitchen, right? I need to like move myself there at the right time so that they don't see I'm doing it, but when they come in, everything's cleaned, right? These guys are great. They're great guys. I love them. But okay, they know how messy I am. So they're like dying in shock that I'm cleaning up the kitchen every night. And like a bunch of guys, nobody said a word. Because they're all thinking, hey, if we say something, maybe he'll stop. And it's just like, okay. So I clean every night, and then I go upstairs to my room, and I start doing my homework, and at 10 o'clock, I stop. Not done, promise that's not done, oh well. Pull out the Bible, and I start reading, and I start writing, right? And what was happening was this. The Holy Spirit was using that space created. The Holy Spirit was using the act of service, was using that boundary of chaos and the space created for reading and listening and thinking to transform my life. Now, I gotta tell you, it was not all of a sudden, but it was noticeable. And by the end of that 5 months, I knew I was a different person. I no longer felt lost. My doubts were gone. I had encountered the creator God of the universe, and I knew who I was in Christ. My life has never been the same since. Now, a bit of caveat here. I'm not saying that if you do spiritual practices, the same thing will happen to you. In fact, it's guaranteed the same thing will not happen to you. Why? Because this is not a formula. It's not do A, get B. That's not what this is about, right? Remember, we're encountering the Holy Spirit who is endlessly creative, who wants to come into your life and do things amazing and beautiful, but just for you. So it will look different. And it will be astounding. It will be unexpected. And speaking of unexpected, one other thing happened during those 5 months that was life-changing. Did not plan it, didn't see it coming. It's a Holy Spirit thing. You know how messy I am. But during those 5 months, every evening you will find me standing in the kitchen cleaning. Well, one day, my roommate, he invited his good friend to come over to study. Well, his good friend, her roommate, also came along. And that roommate is Serena. She walked in. The first time she ever laid eyes on me. First time she ever laid eyes on me. She saw me standing there, and it was clear. I had just done all the dishes, and I was wiping down the counters. And her thought was, wow, this guy cleans. Yikes! Never was there a more false first impression. And by the time she found out the true extent of my messiness, it was kind of too late. Now, in my defense, I did not plan this. The fraud was perpetrated by the Holy Spirit because he knew I needed the help. But let me caveat once again. I'm not saying that if you do spiritual practices, you will find the love of your life. Not saying that, okay? Do them for the right reasons. Let God, let the Holy Spirit do wondrous work in your life. All right, let's talk about this a series. The series called Summer Camp, Adventures in Spiritual Practices. And how many of you have ever been to a summer camp? Hands up. Been to a summer camp. How many of you who haven't been to a summer camp have seen it in a movie, like seen a summer camp movie? Okay, that's pretty much all of you now. Okay. So you know what happens in a summer camp, right? There's all these like activities you can try to do, right? You can go swimming, you can go canoeing, go tennis. You can like weave friendship-based bracelets. I don't know, underwater basket weaving. I don't know. You can do all kinds of stuff. The point of summer camp is to learn skills, to do something you haven't done before. Try something new. That's summer camp. Well, this is a summer camp on spiritual practices. Okay. And look at this list of topics coming up this week, this whole summer. We got a whole bunch of these different spiritual practices coming up. Now, at a summer camp, the first day of summer camp, you go there and you have different camp counselor come onto the stage and they'll say, hey, I'm leading this activity. It's really cool. Come and join my activity, right? Well, that's kind of what this is about. Every Sunday, a speaker will come up and talk to you about a spiritual practice. And it's gonna give you a pitch on why you should adopt that practice for this summer, all right? But it's more than that. Okay, this summer's gonna be amazing. We're gonna have all kinds of social activities at the different sites. We have small groups you can join. We even have, okay, 2 movie nights. Okay, summer camp, there's movies. There's gonna be 2 movie nights at Blackhawk Church where you get to invite friends, invite neighbors, invite colleagues. It's gonna be fun, it's gonna be amazing. You're gonna hear a lot more about the movies next Sunday, okay? So get ready for this. It's gonna be awesome. So here's my challenge for you for this summer. I said at the beginning, the last series was about learning stuff. This series is about doing stuff. I challenge you. I'm gonna dare you because I hear that works better. I dare you, okay? You can't do all of them, all the spiritual practices, but you can pick two, maybe three. Commit to doing them this summer. Okay. Now, here's how it's different from summer practice, summer camps, real summer camps, right? Summer camps, you go and learn a skill. Okay, well, that's kind of fun. Here, when you learn a spiritual practice, when you're doing a spiritual practice, what you're doing is you're inviting God to show up in your life. So do a spiritual practice. Do two and see if God shows up. Give him the space to work. The Holy Spirit wants to do something absolutely beautiful, absolutely astounding in your life if you will let him. Would you commit to doing that this summer? Let me pray for us. Father, as I prep this talk and remember the course of my life and how it's been changed, I give you grace. I give you gratitude. I give you thanks. You do beautiful things in people's lives, and we're grateful that you do that. And you're working in all of our lives, but what you want so much for us is that we actually respond and cooperate and give you more space to work. And so, Father, we pray that this summer would be a great chance for us as a church, Father. Come up among us and do beautiful things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, as Charles said, there's the challenge for us to gain a deeper understanding of the work that the Holy Spirit desires to do in all of our lives. In other words, to really help us to understand the depth of what Jesus did for us on the cross and opening this door for us to be in right relationship with God, where the Holy Spirit indwells us and does a work inside of us that we can't completely wrap our minds around. And so he invites us to partner by just simply opening the door, as he was saying. And right now, as a community here in this room, for us online, we have the chance to be able to remember Jesus and to remember the sacrifice that he made for us, giving his body being broken, his blood being shed, to pay the penalty for our sins so that our sins wouldn't separate us from God any longer, but we can be in right relationship with God because of Jesus. And so we're going to take communion together this morning, online and here in the room. And for some of you, maybe you've never had a chance to be able to do this with us. If you haven't had a chance online to go and get your elements, this is definitely time to do that. You might want to pause me for a minute and go and grab those things. But for those of you in the room, you might have slipped through the doors and actually not gotten one of these. And if you don't have one, you can just simply get the attention of some of our different ushers who are walking around. You can raise your hand. They'll get one to you. And we're still doing I like to call these the Lunchable style of communion, maybe snack pack, if that's your thing, that we do, where we get to tear off the different elements and take this together. And this is for anyone in the room who has come to the place where they've accepted Jesus, him alone, for their salvation. So if you've come to that place, you don't have to be a regular member or a regular attender. If you're here with us, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. We just welcome you to join in with it. If you're a kid who's in the room and you've come to that place, your parents feel comfortable with it, you can go ahead and do this. But we also know that's for those online and those in the room, that's never all of us. And there are all kinds of people who are here who are kicking the tires of Christianity, trying to figure out what it is you believe. And every time we do this, we put you in an uncomfortable spot. I just want to say that from the front. And I just want you to hear from me as the senior pastor here that in you not taking the elements right now, that we as a church, we do not look down on you or think poorly of you or anything like that. If anything, we think all the more of you because you take what we do here seriously, and we appreciate that. And so I'm gonna give Chris and the team the opportunity to continue to lead us for a moment. In just a minute, I'll come up and lead us all together as we take the elements. But let me open this time in prayer for us. So would you all pray with me right now? Lord God, We thank you so much for your love for us. You being the one who moved towards us. You opening the door for us to be in a real relationship with you. Not by anything that we've done, but by everything that Jesus did. And the work that the Holy Spirit does to continue to transform us into your image. And so, Father, right now, we just pause to thank you for Jesus. For his body that was broken. For his blood that was shed. So that when you see us, you no longer see our sin, our mistakes, our brokenness. You see the spotlessness of your son, Jesus. That's amazing. We don't understand that. We're so grateful it's true. And so, God, as we enter into this time, I pray, Lord, that you would allow these moments that we have and this opportunity to step into communion to be something that continues to shape and transform us. Would this not just be a ritual that we do right now because we're in church, but it would be an honest-to-goodness communing with you as the God of the universe who loves us more than we can understand or imagine. So we give you this time. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing this next song, feel free to sit and to pray and reflect, but also feel free to sing along with us as well.
The night of Christ's betrayal, he was with his disciples. While he was with them, he took bread and he broke it. Why don't you all go ahead and pull out the piece of bread from your little container? He said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Together, online, here in the room, let's remember Jesus. Anyone else having a hard time with their juice? It's okay to use your teeth if you have to. In the same way, Jesus, after the meal, he took the cup. He said to his disciples, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Together, let's remember Jesus right now.
Well, it's appropriate as we start this series, as we begin and end every service, we always do that with a time of musical worship. Worship is itself a spiritual practice that not only glorifies God, but shapes and forms us. So with that, let's lean in as we sing one last song, and would you stand if you're able and sing this out nice and loud together. With thankful and grateful hearts for how it is that you've moved in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We worship you this morning.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do.
Sing it out.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a high.
Acoustic kind of worship going on. We've got all of your voices. Let's sing this out nice and loud as worship to God. Here we go.
So call my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul.
Sing that out again.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
last time. We'll sing that chorus together. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing.
All God's people said, amen. Hey, thanks again for being with us today. Thanks for all of you joining us online today for services. And I'm hoping that during this summer, this is going to be a journey as we do summer camp together and see the ways that God continues to transform us as we step into more spiritual practices. So, hey, if you're new around here and you need help figuring out ways to get plugged in and connected, we've got people out at our info center. If you're interested in finding out more about Be Kids, ways that you can serve, we have, man, all kinds of places for you to serve within that ministry. There are people right outside the doors and who would love to talk to you. And if there's stuff going on in your life, or if you'd just like to say hi, I'm going to be around after. Charles will be around. Chris Kopp, our site pastor here for Brader Way, will be around. We'd love to get a chance to connect with you online. There are people to connect with you there as well. So let me close us with a benediction. We go from here out into this world that we get to love and serve in a different kind of way through the love of Jesus that we experience. And so my prayer is this, that we being rooted and established in love may have power together with all of God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be people who are filled to the knowledge of all the fullness of God. All God's people together said, amen. Thanks again for being here. We'll see you soon.